Well, today we begin a new series called Family. And since we're focusing on family, I thought I'd update you on my family. As you can see in the picture, Eden is now 2 years of age, and he loves Michigan blueberries. He loves to pick them. He definitely loves to then immediately put them in his mouth. And on occasion, as you can see, he'll put a few in the bucket as well. Now, as you know, families are not static. They're dynamic. There's constant change. And Eden's family has changed. In this next picture, you can see his little brother. This is Reese Davis Blake, and he was born on August 9th. And he's a beautiful, beautiful little boy. You might wonder then, well, how is Eden responding to this change in his family where all of a sudden he has to start sharing his mom and dad and even his grandparents with this new potential intruder? Well, as you can see, Eden loves his little brother, Reese, and the family is doing very, very well. But again, we know that families can go from these idyllic moments and seasons to the opposite extreme of everything is just chaos and troubled. And then there's everything in between. One of the first families we meet in the Bible and really get to know is the family of Abraham and Sarah. We're introduced to them really in Genesis chapter 12 from the scripture reading this morning. God is on the move. God is on the move, and in that moving to redeem all of humanity and to redeem creation, God reveals himself to Abraham and Sarah, and God calls them. Now, at first, when you read the text, it seems like God is calling Abraham and Sarah to do stuff for God. You know, pack up your family, leave everybody, and go to a land that I will show you. And while there is a level of truth to that, deeper in the story and played out as we continue to read their story is this reality that is far more important and essential. God is primarily calling Abraham and Sarah into relationship. A relationship with God. God has been pursuing Abraham and Sarah. God reveals himself to Abraham and Sarah. And in that pursuing and revealing, God is seeking to establish a relationship with Abraham and Sarah. You know, sometimes I think we think it's easier to do stuff for God rather than to be in relationship with God. And I think I understand why that might be. First, it's simply a lot easier to do stuff. You know, tell me what you want me to do. Give me the Ten Commandments and I can keep the Ten Commandments or strive to keep them. Whereas relationships are far messier and more complex. If I'm all about doing stuff for God, essentially I get to control the agenda. I get to decide what my level of buy-in is going to be. Whereas in relationships, all of a sudden, I begin to realize that all of the iterations of my life, all of the nooks and crannies of my life are called into a relationship with the one true and living God. And so this story, as do all the stories of Scripture, they invite us, and this story invites us, to enter into the story, to find ourselves in the story. Who am I more like? Who is God in this story? What new discoveries do I have of myself and who God is? And so one of the questions that comes out to me in this story is simply this. Do I live my life with an intentional awareness that I am called into relationship with God? See, I can be busy doing stuff for God and never spend much time, if any time, dwelling, ruminating on this question of every nook and cranny, every iteration of my life being called into relationship with Jesus. Now, not only does God call Abraham and Sarah into relationship, but whenever there is a calling, there is a need to respond. Abraham and Sarah are called to respond to God's initiation of an offer of relationship. And we see in the story that Abraham and Sarah say yes. They, in fact, express yes by packing up, leaving, and going to find this land that God will show them. And here again, there's this question of my own life. Does my life demonstrate in obedience of response rooted not in legalisms, but rather loving relationship, deepening relationship? We see in Abraham and Sarah a trusting obedience. And many of us will remember that old hymn of the church, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." Indeed, if you fast forward from the story of Abraham and Sarah to the stories of Jesus, we find Jesus repeatedly inviting, "Follow me, come and see." You may remember the incidents of the boat out on the Sea of Galilee. There's a storm. Jesus comes to them. The disciples are freaking out first because of the storm. Now they're freaking out because they see Jesus walking on water. They think it might be a ghost. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It is me." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, then command me to come and be with you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come on, come on." And Peter has now received that invitation. Jesus is calling him, and Peter now has a choice of response. "Well, I really wasn't serious about getting out of the boat and trying to walk on water because that just sounds like a bad idea." Or, and this is what in fact he does do, he slips a leg over the gunwale and then brings his other leg over the gunwale and he slips over the side. And for a while, he is walking on water, and we can fixate on the fact that he gets distracted, he becomes fearful, he starts to sink, and Jesus saves him. But the fact remains, the dude walked on water in response to Jesus' invitation. And that indeed is what we are invited in our own lives to do on a regular daily basis. We are called to respond to the invitation, the calling of God. Are we going to slip a leg out over the gunwale and then both legs and then slide off into the water? Or are we going to stay in the boat? I remember a wonderful book written by John Ortberg, a great pastor and also psychologist, called "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat." And I think that's true of our own lives. We can play it safe, we can control the agenda, or we can respond, as Abraham and Sarah did, to the call of God into relationship and to following. I'll just say one other thing about this. Jesus says in the Gospels, in the Gospel of John specifically, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my teachings." So there's always this dynamic of calling and a trusting response of yes, not rooted in legalisms, but rooted in a loving relationship and responding in ways that will cultivate, that will nurture, that will develop and strengthen that relationship, as opposed to not responding passively or even actively going against that calling and participating in things that will be toxic to that relationship, that will starve that relationship, impede that relationship from developing. Now, there's one other story of calling in this story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And this is the calling to be agents of blessing. We see this in the language of all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. All the families of earth will be blessed through you. God called Abraham and Sarah to live life beyond themselves and beyond their tribe, to be agents of blessing to individuals and indeed people groups that they had not even had contact with. They were perhaps not even aware existed. And yet God said, I'm calling you to be my agents of blessing to them. Now, again, I'm invited to find myself in the story. We're invited to do that as well. And so I ask this question of myself, and perhaps it will resonate with you as well. Do I see the spheres of my life, family, friends, work, recreation, service, etc., as spheres to impart blessing? I'm not called, and we are not called, to tribalism. I am not called, we as members of the body of Christ, the church, we are not called to nationalism. We can love our country of origin. We can love the nation in which we find our citizenship. We can be patriots. But first and foremost, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are followers of Jesus. So our ultimate allegiance is not to tribalism, not to nationalism, but to Jesus and the kingdom. And in that relationship with Jesus, and as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to be agents of blessing. We are called by God, called by Jesus to the world to be those agents of blessing. Do I find that being borne out in my life, in all the different spheres of my life, in the workplace, in those play spaces, in my own family relationships, in my neighborhood, in the way I view people who are different from me, be they within my own country of citizenship, the way I view others from other cultural groups? Do I see them as the other to be feared, the other to be excluded, or do I see them as people and groups of people who are loved by God, and that I am an agent then of God's blessing to them? I'd like you to join me in a moment of prayer as we respond to the story of Abraham and Sarah being the called people. God of Abraham and Sarah, in your call is a claim that I am yours. Thank you for the grace that has found me and makes me willing and ready with my whole heart to live for you, to go where you send, to follow where you lead. As you have blessed me, make me a blessing. In the name of the one to whom I belong, Jesus. Amen.